Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Put your hands up if anyone's ever asked you how quickly you can run 3 kilometres. No? We thought not. That's because bench press and barbecues are all that really matter in this world. Boys and girls, two masters of the old arts, flats and shanks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly Flats and Shanks podcast.
Hi!
I am a very controlled, breathing Tom Shanklin.
And I am David Flatman, who wheezes a bit because of my weight.
And because you've just been to the toilet. And just, I know what an effort that is for you. Every time, it's like giving birth.
No, I just did a wee.
Yes.
Just did a wee. And there's this bloke in there.
Oh, you have chats to you in the toilet?
No,
one of
them. I didn't chat to him, no. I was having a wee and this bloke walks in with his mate.
You're like, oh, is this where the big boys hang out?
He's obviously a joker. And he's like, oh, how much then? Because we're at the services, by the way, peeps. Again, he's like, how much is the petrol here then, a litre? He's like, £1.40. Bloody hell! I'll just have a pound's worth then. It's been a tough month, and he keeps talking to himself. I can't stop going. I'm like a camel. So I said to him, why a camel? It's not a joke, by the way. This just happened in the toilet. I said, why a camel? He goes, well, I can't stop pissing. And I was like, but they drink a lot, don't they? Doesn't mean they wee a lot.
Yeah, they don't go for a week then.
Yeah, so I don't think they wee a lot. So I drink like a fish.
Fish actually
drink a lot?
I'm not sure. I did just make that up. I'm not sure camels go weekly to the toilet.
No one can prove otherwise. Actually, anyone.
What do you call a three-humped camel?
Stop it. Sugar.
Pregnant.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. You've done some great gags on here.
No, I know, but that's one of them.
That's not one of them, kid.
Yeah, but we're talking about camels. I've got a joke on camels. I mean,
I've had four.
Have you got a joke on petrol stations? No.
I've had four coffees today, but big ones. I don't normally have big coffees. I normally have.
I know what you have.
What?
You normally have double espressos. Have you had a Cordero? I think it's a Cordero.
No, that's the winger who plays, the Argentinian who plays for Exeter. You muppet. You mean a Cortado? Cordero. That's what Spanish people call jeans.
What do that? A Cordero, is it?
Cortado.
It begins with a C. It's my first. I've only had
cappuccino.
One.
Cappuccino.
I've only had one.
Cortado. Yeah, I have actually.
A cup of coffee.
Yeah, I'll take a pint of beer. I like cortados because it's like a little espresso, but I feel like the milk through off keeps the heat in it.
No, you're way wrong, mate. You're way wrong. You've not got a clue, mate. It's a small flat white. You've just hammered me on what it is and what it's
called.
No, but
I like. No, it's the size of an espresso, but it keeps the heat in it.
It's not. It's bigger than an espresso.
It's the size
of
an
espresso. It's a small flat white with a double shot.
Okay, listen, it's the size of an espresso with a bit of strength in it, and it's got the trough on top to keep the heat in it, which is what I like.
It's a little bit bigger than an espresso. It's got
espresso, there's no X in it.
It's got the strength of me and the milkiness of you.
You. Also of you. hey. How's life?
How have you been, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How's life?
All right. Can't complain. A little bit rough.
I bet you can complain. It's
a little bit
do.
Rough from going over to Ireland. Thus, drink a little bit too much black stuff.
Tastes
better out there.
Oh.
6 pints before dinner. You what?
I was with one of my soulmates in Scotland at the weekend.
Dulwich crew.
No, he's a weirdo from up north, actually, and his name's Will, and he...
Will the weirdo.
We popped into a shop to get some kettle chips and hummus, because that's who we are, and he's like, can I meet you at home? I've got to run back to the place to stay. I've got to run back because I've had too many pints of Guinness. I need a Guinness poo. And I was like, what do you mean a Guinness poo? And he's like, it's coming out. I've got it. And he ran. He's like, don't you get that? I said, no.
The black?
Yeah, like tar, he said.
Did you know?
I don't get that.
I didn't know this. We obviously knew that Lee Halfpenny's first name was Stephen. Do you know what Mike Phillips' first name is?
Stephen.
No, William. William Mike Phillips.
Is that true?
Of Harryville.
Of Harryville. There was a kid in my class called Toby something. Toby Giles or something, as a kid. And we joined a new class once, and they read the class out. They said, Kenneth Giles. He's like, and he just went, no one knew. And he's like, it's Toby Giles. Says Kenneth here. He says, Kenneth's my first name, but they call me Toby. But that's it then. What's he been known as ever since? Toby.
Steve. Toby. Kenneth Owens. He's a Kenneth.
Oh, God.
Yeah?
You all right?
Yeah, really good, actually. Just jet lagged.
That's the bloke. The bloke with the coffee in his hand.
Okay.
Coming out, you can't see him, people. He's there. He's the one who...
He's got a comb over like Bobby Charlton.
He's a... Funny looking fella. So we're in this car park, right? You know how we do the car park thing? Dogging minus the fun. And a minute ago, and this bloke saw us with our high-level audio equipment in the car, and he got out of his van. And by the way, the name, we've got nothing to do with this guy, but it's called Dale Maintenance.
What do you reckon he does?
Don't know. Dale Maintenance. I don't know if his name's Dale, but he's got his van. And he jumped out his van, and without sounding like too much of a div, he recognised us, and he... thumbs up and smiled. I couldn't work out what he shouted. He either shouted good show or you shit. I'm not sure which one.
Please try not to swear.
Sorry.
As best you can.
But I think that went well. It went well, didn't it?
Hi Dale. It's probably not even his name.
It won't be his name. But anyway, he's a nice guy. He had a cauliflower left ear but not right. Wondered if he was an amateur loosehead. No. Left ear, mine's right. No.
Do you know,
could be anything, hooker.
Some backs do get cauliflower ears from tackling. Gary Truman. Used to get a little bit of a cauliflower.
Truzy.
Yeah, used to get a little bit of a cauliflower.
Benny Youngs has got collies as well. Harry Ellis had collies. Because the boys at Leicester go hard, I think yeah. Sam Harrison. I think three Leicester scrum halves might have collies.
Yeah, go hard in training though, don't they?
Apparently.
Oh, no, thank you.
Remember when Lewis Moody joined Bath? It was like,
oh yeah,
guys, we're not
great.
We're not good enough. We need to, our training's too soft. And then we were all sat around as sort of senior players, and he was like, we need to be harder in the weeks. If you set a precedent on a Wednesday, you've got to live up to it, or you become one of those guys, you know? So it's like one of those guys that, you know, delivers on a Wednesday but doesn't deliver on a Saturday. So you basically force everyone to go hard on a Wednesday, and they've got to back up.
Yeah. Do you mean trains like Tarzan, plays like Jane?
You become that guy, yeah. So basically you've got to train like Tarzan, then you've got to play like Tarzan, or you get that label. And we were sitting there, and we were all like, unfortunately, he's right.
Mm.
But then it was great because the next couple of years, next few years...
Everyone got injured?
We were bone on bone, like once or twice a week. Sometimes on a Monday, bone on bone, boys flat out. I loved it, mate. I loved that much more than running.
Yeah, forwards do love that.
I loved a bit of Bosch in training. Nick Abendinen was like, oh, not interested.
No, same, because you've got to get yourself up for it. So, you know, attacking is so much easier than defending.
Oh, absolutely the opposite.
Oh,
I much prefer to defend than attack. You can't drop the ball in defence.
What if you were a dog, what dog do you think you'd be, mate? I reckon...
English Mastiff.
No, you're not agile enough.
They're not agile, they're 100 kilos.
You're bulldog, mate, with your wheezing.
Yeah, maybe.
And how you walk around.
Actually,
and
yeah,
your face,
right.
Yeah.
English Mastiffs are really tall, and I'm taller than people think. I'm 184.1 centimetres, which is 6'1" But people think I'm like 5'10", because I'm stockily built.
If you are listening to this podcast, we aren't talking...
Well, they are, of course they are.
We aren't talking any Six Nations, you've got to go on our ITV Flats and Shanks podcast, where we talk all things Northern Hemisphere, top tier competition,
yeah,
wins and losses. So
I've already said Six Nations. There's no point in.
I couldn't say it again. So get yourself on there. This is for. This, who is this for?
Well, the Premiership and the
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
Oh, sorry, Pro 14 as well.
It's for the guys and girls that haven't are really bored at work, basically.
Do you know what I heard? I heard it.
Or travelling, and they want to listen to us twice in a week.
Do you know what I heard, Tommy? See what I heard? I heard that Sky Sports have lost the Pro 14 to Premier Sports or something, like a extra pay subscription channel.
Yeah, that happened ages ago.
Okay, excellent. Didn't know that. Here's a question. Is anyone going to watch the Pro 14 next season? Their viewing numbers are going to be brutal, surely.
Well,
not great now.
People do, mate. And a lot of people...
Of course we will, but the numbers relatively will be tiny. I'm not being facetious here. They will be tiny numbers.
Well, they're not going to be as big as the Aviva when you're watching it on Sky and BT. So,
but Sky is... You pay for Sky and you pay extra for BT. You pay for Sky, you pay extra for Premier Sport. So are people going to pay?
I'm sure in Wales, okay, and I'm sure it works over in Scotland as well, you have BBC Wales. So they also might have a joint rights to show a certain amount of games every week. And that is very highly watched. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're taking this really personally.
We have at least 12 million people in Wales watching it.
That's balls.
Yeah, I know. The population's like 3.4. Yeah, but it's very, very well received and viewed.
Okay, fine. So I want it to be. You're acting like I don't want it to be. I want
put that in your bum bag. Put that in your bum bag.
Fanny pack. Joe Rogan's trying to bring bum bags back in.
Really?
Yeah.
Step Brothers 2 is coming out soon as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I'm so up for that.
What have you been up to then, apart from doing stuff?
Not a lot.
No.
Just mucking about, really. I was at Sarri's yesterday with Mark Durden-Smith.
Jim Hamilton was there as well.
Gloria Hannaford's son.
Big Jim.
I was with Big Jim on a Friday night at a dinner in Edinburgh, which was great. Do you know what is interesting? So,
be honest with me, right? Because he's a tall bloke and you can't see on top of his head. Is his hair going?
Funny you say that.
Because it looks thin.
Because he sat down at Murrayfield, and as soon as he sat down, I think it was Rory Lawson came straight up behind him and said, "Let's have a look." And he got all, "Well, don't." And it's properly going. But he's 6'7". Just stand up. Stand up in public. No one will ever know you're bald.
Eat food, stood up.
You know he's had his hair done, like Goody. He's had it plugged.
Stop it.
He's had it done.
Really?
No. But he should do, because, I mean, he's only got 9 strands of hair, but he's grown them so long that he just loops them back and forth.
We're doing a podcast of them soon, aren't we? I think at the end of this month.
Oh, yeah. Got a podcast with Jim and Goody. Joint forces. So I think we're going to record it and just put it out on both our channels, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
You're doing that, I'm not.
It'd be like bloody boat racing, won't it? Arm wrestling. And don't arm wrestle anyone ever again, because I've seen so many videos of snapping elbows.
My elbow could go, because I had it reconstructed and it's a complete waste of time. Didn't work at all. My forearm, my bone density, which might surprise you, is extreme. So I've got forearms like reinforced concrete, okay?
And like Popeye.
And I'll snap your back. But what would go is my shoulder sockets or my cartilage on my shoulders would, if you imagine getting a poppadom from the Indian and you just hang it from the ceiling by a little clip, and then you get a lump hammer and swing it into it like a swingy thing, like a gong, that's what would happen to my shoulders.
What do they call those things, like in Mexico?
Pinata or something.
Pinata, yeah.
So like that, that's what would happen to my shoulders if I did an arm wrestle with
someone
strong.
What would be the strongest part of your body then? What would be strong, like, if you had to say, right, my shoulders are knackered, my back's gone.
My shoulders.
I've got massive nostrils, really hairy ears.
I haven't got really hairy ears, I just trimmed them with my trimmer. You know I did. You saw me do it. We're on the phone to Michelle just now on FaceTime from my car, and I've got a portable
I've got nostrils like massive teardrops.
Have I got massive nostrils? Have I? Let's have a look in the mirror. I suppose I have, actually.
Picking them too young, haven't you?
They are quite big. They're not that big.
No, they're right. They're not.
They're all right. I've got quite a big nose, though.
No, you haven't. I've got a big nose. What's your strongest part?
No,
then?
I'm saying it's bigger. So yours is bigger.
Jowls? No.
Strongest part of the body, probably my calves. Legs.
Quads? Hamstrings?
Quads, probably. Well, my best lift would probably be a squat or a deadlift, so that's mainly quads, isn't it?
Hamstrings, I think, because you're extending your legs. If it was a front squat, it'd
deadlift,
be your quads.
Yeah. No, but I'm.
It's all over in it, really.
Yeah, thighs then.
Yeah.
Legs then, probably.
Quadfather. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I do not skip leg day. I like leg day.
No. Yeah. A lot of people don't.
Yeah. But they're only kidding themselves.
I'm all chest. Right? I'm all chest. I'm all chest and lats.
Your chest is strong. So you're like...
Live in Latvia.
You're like sets of 10 on the bench at 120, even when you're not that really trying, aren't you?
I mean, that's I don't want to brag, but yeah. 100%.
That's properly strong.
That's not.
For someone who's retired and doesn't do it much, that's strong. You can just pick that up and do it. That's strong.
Compared to average Joe, yeah, but not compared to the rugby boys these days.
No, but if you properly got back into it for a year, you'd lift some big weights again. What did you bench? What was your one rep max on the bench?
I'd do 3 at 155.
Oh, I thought you'd do more than that if you could do 10s on 120.
No, not really. Who was the Leicester scrum half at the
weekend? Why haven't you asked me?
I'm going to ask you in a minute, but who was the Leicester scrum half?
Sam Harrison.
Yeah. I expected, he took his top off and there was a bit of a...
Oh, his tats.
There were tats, but I was expecting like 6 packs, 8 packs, 10 packs.
No, he keeps it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. I love seeing that.
He's
because,
fit, though.
Yeah,
he's
that's
fit,
what I mean.
He,
yeah, exactly that. You don't have to be...
And he's hard, mate.
You don't have to
he's
be...
a tough bloke.
5% body fat, 6% body fat to play the game.
No.
You've got to play your own weight. Is what. Anyway, what do you bench, mate? Well, bear in mind now, my arms are a lot longer than yours. You would go wide grip, like super duper wide. So you, the bar would probably come like 6 inches off your chest for a one rep max because you can't quite, you probably can't go all the way down as well because your elbows hurt. So you have to do.
Should I just tell you?
You have to put a little bit of wood block on your chest.
Should I just tell you?
Half reps, what?
Should I just tell you?
Be big, go on, 180, 190.
I didn't go super wide because my shoulders hurt when it's too wide.
Okay.
So I probably went the same as you, if not a touch narrower. Most comfortable grip is narrow grip for me because my shoulders, too wide hurts.
Did
so probably normal width, no blocks on my chest, okay. Lower it, touch my chest, lift it back up.
What?
210.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
You were repping threes on 155. I was repping, I used to do my triples on 175 pause bench, so we used to lower it down to your chest and then release your fingers so it's foot, and then you lift a dead weight off your chest.
That's what it's all position relevant though.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, what else?
There's always a reason, isn't there?
What else is new?
Max Lahiff did 210 a little while ago, so I think he might have gone more than that now. So I had the Bath record till then.
Is it on the board?
In my board. I just pop in there once a season and write the wall with a Sharpie.
Why's your car so dirty, mate? There's literally mud all over it.
It's a Land Rover.
It's like a plasterer's radio, a painter's radio.
It's a Land Rover. Don't worry about it.
No, but no one buys a Land Rover to take
I go off-road in mine.
Taking a field.
I do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I was in a
don't
field.
Don't live by
day.
Any fields.
No, but I took the dog somewhere and I wanted to go across this racecourse field bit, so I just booted it across the grass. Have a go, don't you? Why not?
Yeah, I suppose. Why walk when you can... Well, you just... So you hold the dogs out the window and you drive across there?
No, I shot put them out the sunroof and boot it.
No wonder one ran off.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
At the weekend,
do you see the interview after?
Good on them. No, I knew it was on the telly, but Kennedy. I couldn't hear it.
Oh, it was good. He, you know,
he was laughing a bit.
Yeah, you could see the delight in his face because he's right away. Like, they do work hard. It's not as if they're not putting in the hours every single session. It's not as if they don't want to improve. And to get a big win like that, or to get any win like that, it just means turn up on a Monday full of a bit of confidence. They're just looking for something, aren't they, to turn their season around. I don't think it's going to be quite enough, but it's certainly great for them, and you feel pleased for them.
You really do, and a couple of guys really stood up. Arno Botha in the back row. It was absolutely mega. He had a great game sort of, in terms of overall contribution. He was fantastic, but really, yeah, you feel sort of... Because to be honest, I know people like to call pundits or commentators, whatever, bias as often as they possibly can, but truth is, I'm not really bothered who wins games anymore. But I find myself really wanting London Irish to win some games, not just to make it dramatic towards the end of the season, although that'd be fun, but just because this is irrelevant, but because there are good blokes everywhere, but they're just such good blokes there. Like, you really want Kennedy and Declan Danaher and Hodgson and George Skivington, those guys, really want them to win some games, because I just know them. I know them to be lovely people and good people, and it's like, and good at their jobs, and it's like, you want to...
But it's with all young coaches, isn't it? You want young coaches to become better coaches.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's quite a few young coaches out there in England, in Wales, and you don't want them to... It's like players as well. You don't want them to lose confidence in themselves either. Mm. And unfortunately, that might happen if London Irish go down.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
So it's about how you manage coaches as well as players.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I was really chuffed for them. It wasn't a brilliant game by any stretch, but who cares? And Worcester, Alan Solomon said something interesting afterwards. He said he felt like they were hung over from two massive games. The last two games have been massive, and they played really well, and they had a really good team out and just didn't look at it at all. And I do wonder, you know, I've said this before about...
You wonder a lot.
I know, I think a lot. I'm a thinker, yeah. But I think in man's crumpet I am. But I always think, like, I've said this about Sale Sharks a few times, and it's sort of thing that offends Sale Sharks fans, but is what I think. So it's almost like you go from massive occasions and you end up at London Irish and the stadium's, you know, sort of six or seven eighths empty.
Yeah.
And there's no atmosphere, and it's kind of like running out for a second team game. And it sounds awful, but it is, and you're really expected to win. There's no atmosphere. They're on one for once, and they're doing it, and it just becomes one of those fixtures that is... The excitement levels just aren't quite there, and people think, well, you're pros, it should always be there, but that's not how it works.
You feed off the crowd.
Yeah.
And you feed off the noise.
You're also used to having thousands of people and hundreds of decibels, you know. Mm. If it's not there, it feels weird.
Just before I forget, GWR have launched a train called the Sir Gareth Edwards.
Have they?
Yeah.
So, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Are they doing one for you?
So, so Chris, I might have a bus, mate. So
you might have a milk float, son.
Chris Penn, you know Chris Penn, who we've done
GWR,
a little bit of work for.
He's a lovely man.
Lovely bloke. He just wanted to, loves Instagram, loves a hashtag. He just wanted us to mention that the train is coming out soon, so keep an eye out for that.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's nice to have a train named after you. I mean, here we go. If you were going to get a car named after you, what car do you reckon resembles you?
I mean, I don't want to be a knob about it. Probably a gold Lamborghini. What? probably the car I'm in now. Really fast.
No, you're workman like. What's a work? Mondeo?
We had Club Mondeos back in the day.
Yeah, I know. Go on.
I feel like my car at the moment suits me. It's a bit more high end than me, but I feel
like
it suits me.
I'm not talking about your lifestyle. I'm talking about you as a person and body shape. And the way you played.
Oh, something slow then?
No.
Yes.
Not cars aren't slow. You know, some are fast, really fast cars, but cars, they can go.
Probably like a big diesel family estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually breaks down a bit. Yeah. So maybe a French one, like a big Renault estate or something.
Yeah.
Because it's practical when it works, useful when it works, but it breaks a lot. And when it's at its peak, it's pretty much just sturdy and reliable.
It can't be diesel. It'd have to be petrol, mate. You know, diesels don't break that often.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're happy with that? Happy. We're happy for London Irish. We don't have to go through this in chronological order, do we?
No, we don't at all. Look, it was a nice finish by Wasps.
We've gone straight to Sunday, so...
It was a nice finish by Wasps at the end there.
Christian Wade had an interesting game, so he coughed up the ball down the right, but he actually produced a couple of moments of brilliance. Scored the last try that ultimately earned him the draw after Gopper's conversion, but his break through the midfield for Dan Robson's try back on the inside. Like,
yeah.
I said on the highlight show, like, how... Seriously now, like, how do you... If you're like you and you're a top class 13 and you're in that position, you would probably find a way to defend that. You're standing his inside shoulder and back your pace, but...
It's not quite as simple as that sometimes. It's a bit of a lottery. You know, you have to try and...
Instinct.
Yeah, you have to try and get something on him. You know, you just have to... Yeah, it's a lot of it is to do with your body position and not getting out of... keeping your hips square so you're not beating on the inside shoulder, but then he's got a massive amount of pace, so it's about not putting yourself in the situation where he's got a lot of space, so you have to work as 12, as 13, as your winger,
as a team within a team,
and
Tom.
You sort of just keep pushing him out so he's got nowhere to go, and you try and cut down his space, but there's going to be instances where there's one-on-ones and he has plenty of room, and it's a lottery then.
Yeah,
it is a lottery. But what a kick by Gopeth as well to finish.
He missed an absolute sitter before that. Wass coughed up a couple of proper opportunities. Wading Young.
That's a tough kick to finish.
It really
as well,
is, yeah.
Off the wrong side as well. And it's not quite on the touchline either. So it's, you know, when kicks on a touchline, you don't really expect players to get them. So
there aren't
if they
many,
get them,
there aren't any players in the Prem you choose over him to take that kick.
Why does Wade sometimes wear a scrum hat and sometimes not wear a scrum hat?
I think it depends how cold it is.
Why does he chew gum during games?
Ellis Genge's doing that. I never know the gum thing. I think, why not? Do what you want. I'll tell you who I like, Tommy. Jake Poledri. Going to play for Italy, isn't he? But
tell us why.
He's just... Someone described him, I think I might have said this, someone described him as like trying to tackle a bag of spanners. He's so aggressive. Absolute beast. Love watching him carry. His main issue is that... Well, he can play a different position than six. Probably could play eight or seven if he had to for Italy. But Negri at six... For Italy, he's an absolute monster, so he's standing in his way. He's a big carrier, but I really like that guy. I really, really like him. They've got some really good young boys. They've got Lewis Ludlow, they've got Freddie Clark, got some good young boys down at Gloss. Enjoy that. Jake Poledri. Good. And that Trinder try down the left was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Billy Burns is offload.
Do you think Trinder's now... Well, I should probably answer this. Is he a winger or is he a centre? I still think he's a centre. I still think he's a 13, but obviously played 12 trees at 13. They put him on the wing because sometimes you need your best players on the field, no matter what position you play. You have to play out of position sometimes. But I still think he's more dangerous at 13. I think his all-round skill level suits 13 more than it does on the winger.
When you're better qualified, but I prefer to see him at 13 personally, Tom. I'm just agreeing with you because you're a centre.
So we had a poor bet last week because it was my choice, and I bet on Harlequins against Newcastle. And I just thought we'd see a massive reaction from Quins at home. And we didn't. And I probably should have... You know when you just hope? You hope a team can react.
Yeah.
I suppose...
Are you saying they've let you down?
They have. I mean, 7-7 half time.
More than that, they've let the children in need down, haven't they?
That is my biggest issue.
That's your homeless magazine, isn't it?
But, yeah.
That was a poor performance from Quins. They really weren't at it. Defensively, they weren't at it. Chris Harris ripping through the midfield.
I know.
Luke Wallace is such a good defender, but he's got way too much space around him. It makes it very difficult for him ripping through. But that Sinotti try down the left, I mean, it's scrum, solid scrum. Nini Latu at eight. It's literally 8-11, gets a run up, scores. Like, you can't be scoring that at that level.
And it's not as if the Quins are hard done by through injury, through international selection. You've got
a proper team out there.
Marchant, Roberts, Alofa, Smith, Walker, Sinclair's playing, Horwell's playing.
Wallace, Wardy, Chisholm. Chisholm throwing punches at...
No, I didn't.
Proper punches, mate. They didn't quite land brilliantly. They both got yellows, but he was like, he's not mucking around.
No.
I like Chisholm, I've said that before, but one thing is, he's hard to shake off. Anyway, He gets annoyed about Nili Lahti's done something, and he just sends us proper right-hander in, not mucking around. And I can't condone that, but I do sometimes think, I wish everyone would stop shouting and pushing and just chin somebody and be done with it.
Well, that's what I think. You know, when the pushing starts, I think there should be an area at the side of the field, like a boxing, little boxing ring. They put on some gloves. They say, right, here we go. You've got 1 minute. Have a go at each other, and then you're back in the field. Yeah. Go for it.
It's all good fun until someone gets knocked out, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but the amount of pushing and shoving in a game would just decrease because, you know, when you can push someone, you can grab someone, nothing's going to kick off. You know, all the players come in.
Then if you push Ross Moriarty, the referee blows his whistle and says, right, you've got 1 minute with Ross Moriarty on the sideline.
Will you push him?
Probably wouldn't push him, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't bother?
You wouldn't. But you're at the Saracens-Leicester game?
Tell you what, that was fascinating, that. Saw Mark Bakewell up there in his first week he's really had in charge, and I think things are going well. I mean, you know, they haven't scored a bonus point and won at Surrey because they've had a new coach for a week.
But you talked about him last week, about him coming in and how just a change of voice might make a difference, and how good a coach he was.
I've got my own views on him. I think he's a twat. I'm joking. I love him and he's a great coach.
When you marry him then?
When you marry him. But Leicester were brilliant. They were really, really good.
You can't drop the ball over the line twice.
Set piece, super aggressive. Like they can't, but our poor old Nathan Earl. Well, he got held up once. He dropped the ball over the line as he was running, and then he couldn't gather a pass that Manu picked up, boshed off Marcelo Bosch with a handoff, and then gave it inside to Jonah Holmes because he didn't want to dive on that surface.
He could have just put the ball down, though, with one hand.
Yeah, funny one, that. But
as a coach, right, I wouldn't like that because he's blatantly going to score a try. It is a risk, no matter how you look at it. Jonah Holmes, you know, you're not thinking, oh, he's going to pass to me, because he's there, the line is there.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a risk, so I wouldn't be too happy about that.
Sarries weren't at it at all. They didn't have any bite. They didn't really have much penetration at all. The set piece got dominated by
Leicester.
And we've
seen that a bit from Saracens this year.
Yeah.
And I suppose a little bit last year, but they are...
They got themselves back to a good place, but they were well
beaten. Little cracks, I think, in there, slowly, slowly developing. And I know, you know, they'll probably back up next week's game with a fantastic win, but...
Well, they're playing Chiefs at Exeter Sandy Park.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a reaction because they're at home. Leicester, they would have thought they would have beaten, so I think we'll see a reaction.
Yeah, I was really surprised, but Leicester really, really did look good.
This is my point. We talked on the ITV podcast about the handoff. Now, Tuilagi, what a great handoff that was in Bosch's face, but you know, there's other places to handoff as well. That was perfect.
Yeah.
And this is what I was talking about with Hugh Jones, when you see him breaking through and he hands off Anthony Watson in the arm.
You know, Hugh Jones changed his name by Depol. Well, his surname was Janus. Let's change it.
Brother of Samantha, yeah? Yeah. Oh, you're good today. But a good win by Leicester. So
yeah, really, really good. Really, really impressive. Good on them. The Exeter game against Saints, interesting. Saints really came to play. Alan Dickens, their coach, was, you know, gutted after the game. He thought they could have won it, and he's dead right. I mean, they're 13 points up with 10 minutes to go. They absolutely could have won that, but Exeter found a way, mainly through, you know, Ollie Woodburn had a bit of an intervention and just decided to come looking for work, ripped through the middle, lovely offload, ends up Don Armand scoring an amazing try. And that last try for Chiefs was kind of inevitable because it was basically picking and going and carrying near the line, and they're so good at that when they get it right. So it's a good win for Chiefs in the end because Northampton gave them a proper scare, and Horn in the midfield was great. Malinder's try was lovely. Luther Burrell skipping around Sam Hill, who got caught in too tight. Really, and for the Ben Foden try. And loads of their top players really starting to deliver. And again, I thought Luther Burrell had a massive influence on the game. When he's at it, and he seems to be back at it at the moment, really good
player. I love Sam Hill's tweet about the Lobavalu. Yeah, I love that. Tackle seemed okay in my eyes.
Yeah, but apparently, so I saw Grant Seeley, the former Northampton Saint, yesterday at Sarries, and he was doing the RFU sighting job at the Sarries game, and he said, from the angle you see repeatedly on Twitter, and it looks like, and that's non-decision, but he see it head on, it is proper shoulder in the jaw, straight red.
I'm not sure, because I know it was the referee didn't pick it up, and I know he's been banned for 4 weeks, but it's still very difficult to govern, because... You watch, you know, when he goes to make the tackle, he does dip. He doesn't dip low enough. He doesn't go around the hips. He doesn't go around the legs, but he dips. Now, when Sam Hill is stepping inside, his body's lowered as well. So you've got two guys going low. There's going to, you know, you are going to get instances where heads collide and tackles are high. It's so hard to do because you don't know how the attacking player is going to take the contact until last minute.
Yeah, but Tommy...
No, but...
It's Gabby Lavabalu's responsibility to not collide with the head of Sam Hill.
Yes, I understand that, but I also know that you don't know what a player is going to do when they step inside, how much they're going to look.
You go so low that no matter what they do, you can't hit their head.
Okay, but
I think he should have been banned for longer.
That's a joke.
Yeah, that's a joke. Was that a good joke?
No.
No.
You're just offending people.
Just trying to be controversial. I think he should be banned for life.
Blues have, I think, their third or fourth win on the trot against Zebra in the Pro 14, so... Mm. Not a bad little run by them. Coming strong at the end of the season.
Good on them.
Big thing for them. Big thing for the Welsh regions is to get into that Champions Cup. You want to play the elites. You want people to come and watch you in your stadiums.
Why have you moved on from the Prem?
Because we can't go through every single game, and this is going to be a short pod because we've got a Six Nations pod. All right,
Denny Solomona was really good for sale there, by the way.
Yes, I saw the chip and chase.
And
Lovely. Faf
de Klerk and Denny Solomona were jokes. Real good.
Ospreys beat the Cheetahs at home. Scarlets beat Ulster at home. So some good performances by the Welsh lads.
We like the Scarlets, don't we?
Yeah, it's just the Dragons letting us down. Come on, Dragons, pull your finger out.
Spend some money, will you? Oh, they have, that's right.
It's bet of the week time. Leo Vegas, bet of the week. Didn't come in last week, did it?
No, we've been rubbish, but we're going to go with Exeter Chiefs versus Saracens at Sandy Park.
Big game,
yeah, huge, yeah. Massive. It's an enormous game, isn't it? I say Exeter win that, Tom.
Oh,
Tom.
Go on, I'll go with you. I'll go with you, but give us a scoreline, David.
Chiefs win that by...
3 points or more.
6 points or more. I'm going Steve Bold.
Okay.
I'm going Steve Bold.
Yeah.
6 points or more.
Get into it. Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you're over 18.
Good luck with everything, yeah. Thanks for your continued support, yeah.
You know what I'm like, don't you? You love to finish on some questions.
You love it, don't you? You're so funny.
Love to finish on a high. Quite a few questions have come through about the Six Nations, which we're not going to answer. Drew on Twitter, Drew Rintmore, says, when you get Chesney on the pod, can you ask him if he's still living off the one and only?
Oh, God, you didn't, Drew.
Drew.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You mentalist, Drew.
You absolute nut job.
I mean, Drew, maybe you could DM me your number and we can get you on before one of our live podcasts just to warm up the guys.
Yeah,
before.
That was genius.
Shouldn't have to have Matt Powell, who is the chief at Aminara.
Yeah, weird looking guy too.
Yeah. You got any questions for me, Dave?
Oh, you want me to do it as well?
Well, I know I'm...
Michelle normally sends all our questions through from email, but since she had kids, she's been even rubbish, isn't she, at that? She hardly
Joe
sends Bat, a screen time,
Joe
Bat
on Twitter... says who would win in the scrap between you two. David would. Yeah, you would, mate.
Do you reckon?
You know what I'm like. I don't like pain anymore.
But you had a fight with Matt Leake in Tenerife. Do you remember? You had a punch up, didn't you, on our steps to our apartment with Leakey. We've done that in the pod before.
Yeah.
Who won?
Me, because he had blood.
He was aroused.
He was
All right, here's one from John Wynn Richards. On an entirely unrelated note, unrelated to what? Anything? Have you fellas got Nick Knowles' new album? #Brent. No, I haven't, actually. I haven't.
I've heard it's Brent. Brent-esque.
Rob Sherrington, are England better now than under Stuart Lancaster, or did we all get carried away?
We won't talk about Six Nations on these questions.
Yeah, all right, but no, they're better now. And 24 wins in 26 games ain't that bad, so chill out.
Okay, worst person to be one-on-one against... out of Robinson, Lomu and Sinotti.
Lomu?
And that is Alan Jones.
Ooh, that's a great question because Sinotti. Who's the other one?
Lomu and Robinson. Oh. It's Lomu or Robinson, isn't it? Lomu. Has to be Jonah Lomu. An inspiration.
Sinotti, one-on-one, our kid. Are we really comparing someone to Jonah Lomu here?
That's the problem.
I think we can't. In a week where hugely underrated Simon McIntyre, very good prop from what's made his 100th Prem appearance, who else universally slips under the radar? Don't want to be unoriginal and say Don Armand? He's not under the radar, everyone knows about him, don't they?
Probably James Davis a little bit, but I mean everyone talks about him because he doesn't get picked, so he's in the forefront of the media.
Mark Wilson at Falcons, Kyle Cooper, I know he's not eligible, but he's top player.
Cayman Taff on Twitter says, is the reason Shanks moved to centre because he got embarrassed twice in two games by Joe Rokokoku? I think we all know the answer to that. Yes.
Here's one, Gareth Oram. What do you think of non-rugby celebs talking shite about rugby? Chill out, Gareth.
I wonder who he means.
Well, I don't know, but non-rugby people. So it's like, don't worry about it.
You
they're
can't
fans.
Stop people having an opinion.
They're just fans.
And saying what they think.
Yeah.
Quite like it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your Premiership top four? I don't know. Do you know what? I love the fact Newcastle are in it. One of the top four. I absolutely love them being in it. I'd love them to stay in it.
They are going to stay up there.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I would actually love it if they were in a Prem semi-final. That would be brilliant. Let's just hope they do.
Okay. Well, we'll just finish on this, mate. We'll just finish on my question. Should England... I want a yes, no answer because, I mean, you love a debate, especially a mass one. So
we're going to wallop.
I want a really short answer on this. Should the Aviva Prem be ring-fenced? Yes, no, or I'm not quite sure yet because I'll wait for someone else to say something sensible and then copy them.
I'm the nard on this. The answer really is the third one, but I don't want to say that. The answer is I'm not quite sure either way, but I think no. I think it should remain competitive, and the model for promoted teams being able to recruit and make themselves strong enough soon enough needs to be looked at. But I do think that
I said yes or no.
But I do think that ring fencing it so that everyone can palm more money and doesn't necessarily make it a better competition.
There you are. You heard it here first. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Write reviews.
Nice
all the
ones.
Time.
Nice ones, or you get red dotted, yeah?
And we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.